This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Right out of the box, Helena Moreno, New Orleans City Council. Helena, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Good morning.
Helena, I know that you have a Public Works Committee meeting today that you wanted to get to. A lot going on there. What do y'all expect to hear today?
So today in the Public Works meeting, it's really a packed agenda. We have the Sewage and Water Board coming in to talk about their deployment of the smart meters. As you know, currently the Sewage and Water Board has had significant billing issues. A lot of it has to do with operator error, really, the meter readers not reading correctly. That sometimes leads to these incorrect bills. So what Sewage and Water Board is now working on is deploying these smart meters where there won't be any meter readers. It'll just be sent, the information from your house or business is just going to be sent directly to the Sewage and Water Board electronically, similar to what Entergy deployed with their smart meter system. So that's one presentation. Another big presentation, well, really two more this morning that we have with drainage issues, and that is where we are with catch basin cleaning. So I'm really interested to hear that update. And then finally, there's also going to be a presentation on what we're doing with the lighting infrastructure, particularly on our interstates. That's one of the main issues that I have been focusing on. There are a lot of different issues happening with our lighting infrastructure, and one of the reasons why we're actually having trouble keeping the lights on is because, unfortunately, thieves are going in and stealing the copper from some of these lights, and that's taking out like strings of lights on our interstates. And so, you know, I've been working with the Department of Public Works and saying to them, it's like, well, we can't keep doing things the same. Why don't we try to look at utilizing different materials in our lighting systems? Why don't we, you know, take a look at what other cities are doing? Because we're not the only city dealing with a situation like this. Some are now transitioning some of their lights to solar so that you don't have this copper wiring. And then kind of the third piece is I did reach out to state police, because as they start to build their troop here in New Orleans, one of the things that I would like to see is state police on our interstates. As we all know, state police, that's what they're really good at, patrolling interstates. And so as they patrol our interstates to be able to try to stop those thieves from getting into our lighting infrastructure and stealing copper. And then at the same time, Chief Kirkpatrick, I know that she's talked to me about trying to get with state police to create some of these task forces around who's buying stolen copper as well. So try to yeah, get it on both ends. So, like I said, a lot going on this morning, and that's just one committee that we have today. We have another one coming up at 1 o'clock, which is a quality of life and community development committee, which also has a lot of interesting things and many contracts going through as well.
It's really disheartening. You know, you work so hard to maintain your infrastructure. It's hard on a good day. Stuff breaks and it goes bad, but you have these thieves that are out there stealing all of this equipment and just making it so much harder. We are in a critical point right now in the work up to the Super Bowl in February, trying to improve and put our best face on. And it seems as though sometimes we're taking one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I keep saying that we can't continue doing things the same way and expect a different outcome. So that's why I'm constantly pushing these city departments to think differently, to think outside the box. It's like, okay, if everyone's constantly stealing our copper the way we're doing things now, well, what can we do differently then? What are other cities doing? And so because of some of the work that I've been doing there and some of the pushing I've been doing there, there is actually now going to be a request for really proposal based on, you know, kind of new innovative solutions that could be out there. And we want to go out to third-party experts, like what do they suggest? And what do the costs look like, too, if we're going to be doing some retrofitting of some of these lighting infrastructure as well. So, like I said, it's just, you know, we just can't keep doing things the same and expect things to change. We have to really start thinking outside the box, doing things differently, seeing what other cities are doing, and hopefully that'll lead to a better outcome.
Absolutely. Last week, you went up to Baton Rouge, a place that you're familiar with, to testify relative to gun-free zones. How were you received? How was your message received?
Well, I'll say this. You know, obviously, I still have a lot of personal relationships up in Baton Rouge at the legislature. I served in the legislature for 8 years alongside our current council vice president, J.P. Morrell. He was a senator when I was a state rep. So it's always good to see familiar faces up there. The reason why I was there is because I am supporting legislation that our New Orleans Police Department is supporting. And it's really two bills, Newell. And these bills have to do with still being able to have some type of exemption to the new permitless concealed carry law that will go into effect this summer. And so there are two bills. One is by Senator Kirk Talbot, and that one would still require a concealed carry permit to carry concealed in the French Quarter. And then there's another bill, which is House Bill 498 by Representative Knox. And this bill has been significantly amended now, Newell. It used to be that it would require a firearm-free zone that would include the French Quarter, downtown, and convention center area. But now that's been amended down to being more similar to Senator Talbot's bill, which would mean that it would just require a concealed carry permit in this area. And so the reason why NOPD believes that this legislation is important, and let me just say that NOPD wishes that the entire city of New Orleans, as do I, would be exempt from the permitless concealed carry, is because they really feel that things need to stay with you being able to utilize a tool to be able to stop individuals to check for permits, because that is one of the ways that they have been able to get illegal firearms, Newell, from places that are mostly very crowded, like the French Quarter, downtown area, things like that. And so what they worry about is that if there are no exemptions in the city of New Orleans, no carve-outs to this law that will take effect this summer, that means that in very crowded areas during huge events, you know, like Mardi Gras, let's take the French Quarter, that where ordinarily if they believe that they see someone, you know, with a firearm in their pocket, with a firearm in their jacket, they can't stop this person anymore and say, hey, are you permitted to have a concealed firearm? And usually when they stop a person and they have a permit, they're like, yes, you know, they're, yes, officer, you know, in my back pocket, you'll see my permit, I'm permitted to carry, and it's no big deal and no problem. But sometimes that's not the case, and they've been able to get, you know, hundreds of firearms out of the hands of those who are not legally supposed to be possessing firearms at all. Felons is one example, those that have protective orders or domestic violence charges against them. Individuals who are not supposed to be carrying a firearm, they've been able to get these guns, these illegal firearms off of our streets and maybe potentially prevented shootings. So the reason why they want some type of exemption to continue to require a concealed carry permit in these areas is so that they can do as much as possible to do illegal firearm enforcement in these areas. Because, of course, what we don't want is to have, you know, more shootings, even more shootings than the one that we just had outside of a club in the Warehouse District last week, where you had, you know, one person who was beefing with another person, and this person decided to take a firearm and started shooting and ended up shooting 12 people and killing one young lady, 24-year-old Jezreel Poliet, who had her entire life in front of her, just because, you know, he decided to take out a firearm and just start shooting into a crowd. And so we want to do everything possible to prevent these types of shootings, and we're hoping that one of these pieces of legislation prevail so that there can be some type of exemption within the city of New Orleans for police to still be able to do this enforcement. And like I said, this is a pro-NOPD, pro-law enforcement piece of legislation. There's many law enforcement experts that, you know, are supporting bills like this and understand that the city of New Orleans is much different than other cities across the state. We're much different than a Gray, Louisiana, or Stonewall, or Oakdale, or places like that, smaller towns where, you know, a permitless carry is not that big of a deal. But here in our city, where we have roughly 17 to 19 million visitors every year who predominantly come to visit a 2-square-mile area in our city, like this exemption, in my opinion, would just make common sense.
Yeah, it's not one that's arbitrary. In fact, I support Kirk Talbot's bill, and I've had conversations with many people about it. I believe it's commonsensical. You know, they point to other areas of the country, but no other area in the country allows open container, allows bars to stay open 24/7. We have ingredients to what happens out on our streets that you don't find in other communities. How was the reception? I mean, it seems as though the NRA and others are trying to make a big deal out of this issue, as though we're trying to take away the rights of people to carry a gun and this and that. It's always the extreme. It kind of frustrates me. What are you hearing from Baton Rouge?
So when I'll say this, I've been hearing from legislators from both sides of the aisle, even when the special session was happening and there was a consideration of the permitless concealed carry, where legislators were telling me that they were really hoping for some type of New Orleans carve out. They really were, and including Republican lawmakers, that they just believed that it really made sense. And particularly with what Senator Talbot is trying to do, they said that their big concern was the quarter and the large crowds in the French Quarter. Now, moving forward to this particular session, when myself and Chief Deputy Nick Gernon went up on behalf of supporting the NOPD, we found that there was obviously significant opposition if this were a full-out firearm-free zone, which is what Representative Knox initially had in his bill. And so now that has been amended to have it be a concealed carry permit zone. And once it was amended down to require a concealed carry permit, then it seemed that made the opposition, I mean, I think they were still opposed, but it made it less severe, right? Less, it wasn't as just, you know, no way, no how. There seemed to be a little bit of softening. Well, okay, well, you would still be able to carry in these areas concealed, but you would just have to have a permit, just like we do right now, just like we do right now. And so, you know, we're hoping that we're going to be successful, you know, in the next couple of weeks with Senator Talbot's bill. I know he's been working really hard. You know, he's been working with some of the Republican lawmakers as well who are in support of this. But, you know, I'm hoping that the NRA will see that this is just a common sense approach that we're trying to do. It's not trying to take guns away from law-abiding citizens or anything like that, or trying to prevent anyone from trying to protect themselves. We just want to make sure that, you know, it's trained individuals who are carrying concealed, and that NOPD has as many tools as possible to try to prevent additional shootings in our city, in particular in these very crowded areas of our city as well.
Helena, so, some of what I'm hearing from folks, and this is, I think, both a perception issue as well as it's rooted in reality, is that many folks believe that we don't really take the violation of gun laws very seriously. And we see a lot that's going on in the criminal court system. We see the DA, not really prosecuting a lot of these cases as aggressively as they should be. In fact, just week before last, Rafi Goyeneche and I talked about a series of cases that are very troubling. And, you know, and it's hard to sell a message that we want to be serious about this and we take this serious when we have so many other it's almost as though we're swimming upstream sometimes where we have other aspects of the criminal justice system that just don't seem to be aligned with this mantra that we're taking it seriously. And I mean, we must and shall, we have to get our house in order. We have to get the entire house in order. And it gets harder and harder to convince people in Baton Rouge as to where we are on certain issues when the house isn't in order. Your thoughts?
Yeah. And I'll say this, you know, I've had conversations with NOPD, just thinking about some of the questions that may be asked by legislators around this particular issue. And what they always go back to, Newell, is on this particular issue is what they're trying to do, and the main focus for them is trying to remove that imminent threat of that person with a firearm, potentially an illegal firearm that could potentially be there to inflict harm on someone.
Absolutely.
Or many people, is removing that imminent threat and removing it now. And that's how they believe that this is really an effective tool in preventing shootings and mass casualties in these very crowded areas. And so that's where NOPD continues to just make their point, which I think is a really good and valid point. It is about removing those individuals.
It is, but it doesn't always move the needle on public perception. And sometimes perception is reality. I mean, you know, and it, look, I served in that capacity for 40 years. I get it. That's why I take the position that I'm taking. But we got to get our house in order, and it's just not. And it's going to get increasingly harder to sell any of this when we keep hearing story after story after story that we're not taking it seriously. I wanted to move on and ask you your thoughts on a couple of things real quick.
Sure.
I have taken a very strong position on this public records bill. I think it's a disaster. I've served on both sides. You have served on, you've been on both sides. You've been on the media. You've been an elected official. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Well, let me just tell you, I think that the legislation is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think, it just will lead to so much more additional, mistrust in public officials by the people of the state of Louisiana. I think that it's going to be such an opportunity for people in elected and public offices to be able to hide so much. I think it potentially could lead to additional corruption. I think it's terrible. I think it's like moving us in the complete, wrong direction. I'm hoping, and what I'm hearing, Newell, is that the Senate is planning on adding significant amendments to this bill. I don't know what those would look like or what, but I mean, I think it is incredibly problematic and moves us in a terrible direction in the state.
Yeah, I think it's scheduled to be on the Senate floor today. I'm trying to get that confirmed, but no one seems to know, which that's not unusual. I mean, those kind of things happen. Your thoughts about the Constitution?
The Senate schedule is never, accurate. If you're going up to something that's scheduled in the Senate on the Senate floor, it's like, come back another day,
Yeah. We'll get the vote count first.
Exactly,
Then decide whether you're going to make the trek.
Exactly.
Your thoughts on the Constitutional Convention?
So I also think that this is really just being rushed through. It's too fast. There's not enough input happening. I'm also hearing, Newell, that that's likely, probably not going to happen. And it just based on kind of like the pushback that's coming from, you know, both the House and Senate members. And it's just way too fast, not enough input. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And then, you know, next thing you know, we've got a rewritten constitution. So I serious issues with that as well.
Helena, I took the stand that if my two legislators, Senator Cameron Henry and Representative Lori Schlegel, vote to have that constitutional convention, I will never vote for them again. That's how strongly I feel about this.
I call it like it is.
I mean, this is a defining moment piece of legislation where I think they're trying to circumvent the public will. The public will is what put these amendments to the Constitution, and they want to take us out of the process from the very beginning.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and not to mention, it's like the whole rush job, too, makes it look really, you know, kind of like there's something nefarious going on, too, which leads the public to be even more frightened about what potentially could come. So I just think that the way that this was all laid out and done, I mean, I don't think it's going to be workable. And I don't think the bill is actually going to advance that much further.
Well, I hope you'd rather talk to me than go to the Public Works Committee, but I do understand your priority.
Hey, you might not be wrong about that.
Well, I know you got to go. We really appreciate your time this morning, and have a great week.
Thank you, Noel. Appreciate it. You too.
All righty. Helena Moreno, New Orleans City Council. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Give us a shout. We'll be right back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.